Honestly, I wasn't worried at all after the incident. I grew up in a situation in which these incidents are normal. Two of my colleagues were killed and six others were wounded. It was a painful moment in my life, but I stood strong and firm and came to the office on the next day. We are ready to stand firm in the face of these attacks all the time.
And attacks against women continue. The recent Taliban offensive in Kunduz was a brutal and threatening reminder that Afghan women face deadly repression across the country. Many fear what gains women in the country have made over the past decade are under renewed threat. But many Afghan women deny such claims, saying they emerge stronger after each attack. For FSRN, I'm Robert Packard, reading for Gabe Matthews, Kandahar and Nangarhar, Afghanistan.
This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Free Speech Radio News airs every Friday at 5 p.m. on WEFT Community Radio, followed by Smile Politely Radio, coming up next. And stay with us after that for Hip Hop Express at 6 p.m., Blues Live at 8, and The Bachelor Pad featuring lounge music and exotica at 10 p.m.
When the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we'll be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be
ours. You're listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local. Arts, culture, food and drink, music, opinion, tech, and more. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm filling in for Rebecca Pulsifer, who is, I assume, on Thanksgiving break. And I am very pleased to introduce the host of Speak Cafe, Shea Robinson. Hi, Shea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Excited for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And I hope excited for this show.
We got
lots to tell people. So for anyone who does not know what Speak Cafe is, fill us in.
Speak Cafe, it actually stands for Song, Poetry, Expressions, Art, and Knowledge.
Oh, you see, I didn't know that.
Yes, and it's just different forms of ways to express yourself, and it all kind of just is a place for people to come and be creative and kind of bring some social issues and, you know, hopefully hit people in the few minutes that they're up there to create some sort of change in the community or within themselves. So,
and when and where does it happen?
Speak Cafe happens at the Krenner Art Museum. Usually it's on a Thursday. It kind of changes in between the first and second Thursday of each month.
For the holidays. When's the next one?
The next one will be February 11th.
Oh, you're skipping December.
Yeah, we take a little bit of a break in between semesters. Okay. And so we'll do one for the first semester, and then we'll do February, March, and April, and then we'll cut for the summer.
Okay. Okay. What can people who haven't attended expect to find when they walk in the door?
Well, when they first walk in, they'll actually hear music playing, and that's a big part of it, is having some music that kind of brings everybody in. They'll see me greeting everybody that walks through the door, asking them if they want to perform, if they're just coming to watch. And then they'll see just a different array of artists, whether it's singers or sometimes somebody coming and just drop a little bit of knowledge about, you know, particular people in history or, you know, about social issues that are going on right now. You'll see rappers and singers. And of course, poetry is one of the biggest forms that we have that people bring to Speak Cafe.
Do you have regulars who come every month?
I do. Coco Harmon is one of the regulars that I have. I have Killanoise. That's another regular. I've been a regular for a lot of years. So
I'm gonna ask you to speak one of your pieces in a little bit. So everyone, stay tuned. Mm. How did Speak Cafe get started?
It actually got started about 9 or 10 years ago by Dr. Will Patterson. He actually went out to Cali and he saw the open mics, and what they did was they had sweet potato pie there, and he saw how they were using the social issues and just creative abilities there. And so he brought it back to his class to start a conversation about civil engagement. And so he brought it to campus, but he also wanted it something that the community could get involved with. So it actually started with the Race, Roots, and Resistance, revisiting the Black Power movement. So during the Black Conference that Dr. Sundiata and Lou Turner and a couple other professors put together in 2006 was one of the first Speak Cafes. And so within that time, they've had a lot of, you know, local artists, of course, you know, Brother A-Dub performing, and, you know, they would just come back and it just kind of grew from there. First, Dr. Will Patterson was the host, and then he saw Aaron kind of come in and really getting into it. And so he became the host for about 8 or 9 years. And then I think he saw me being a regular and kind of getting into some of the social stuff going on in town and decided to pass it on to me, which I'm really, really grateful for. So thank you, Aaron, for passing it on to me. I'm really trying to do it justice. So
how many people will come generally and just step up to the mic?
Oh, it really depends on, you know, the time. Sometimes you'll get so many artists that you're running out of time because it's from, you know, about a 2-hour span. So you really don't have much time in between the music and, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, I get a really, really good amount of artists that come out from just this area. Sometimes we'll actually even have some people come down, like Malik Youssef had come down and Hip Hop Detox. Jasmine McKinney was one of the students at the university that's gone on to do some really, really great things. Sonia Sanchez had come through. So, I mean, you get, depending on when it is and kind of what's going on in the university, you can get a packed house where it's kind of spilling out of the cafe.
Well, the last time I was there, it was definitely spilling out. I haven't been there since you took over. I've gone for Aaron a few times.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have to come out.
I would love to, but I gotta wait until February.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm really itching to do it, but I know I have to wait. I have to be patient for the time. So I'm hoping everybody else has that same sort of excitement for February to come as I am. So.
And who makes the sweet potato pie now?
I make it now.
You do? Because Aaron's mom used to make it, right?
I think his mom and then his wife started making it for a while. And then
now that she's in Springfield, she doesn't have time. Yeah, she's got to get a budget done before sweet potato pie.
I know. Yeah, she's really, really busy. So I've actually been getting in the kitchen and making sure I'm putting it together. And it was a big hit the first time I made it. I was really excited.
Fantastic.
I was like, I'm doing pretty good here.
Yeah, that's great. Well, tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, I actually was born in Champaign, Urbana. Then I kind of moved a little bit around the Midwest. I moved on to Peoria and then kind of set shop in Davenport, Iowa for a while. And then I went to Eastern for a little while. And then I ended up back in Champaign, where home is. And it didn't take long for me to remember what it felt like to be in this community and to enjoy being here. I have a lot of family in town and stuff like that. So I've just kind of set shop here and just been really introduced to a lot of amazing people and who are putting me in positions that I didn't necessarily feel like at the time that they put me in them, I was ready. But I'm like, you know, if you put me there and you believe in me, I believe in me. So we're going to make it happen.
How did you get into spoken word?
I actually used to write for myself a lot as a kid, and Aaron would every single month, are you going to perform today? Are you going to perform? I would come. He'd see me writing while people were performing because you get that little bit of inspiration there. But I just did it a lot for myself, and then I finally started to perform a little. I still have that shyness because I'm still, you know, I hold my words really dear to me. So, you know, to actually be able to give them to the community is, it's kind of a scary thing, but I know that I can use my voice to change people, and that trumps any other nerve that I have a lot of the time. So,
do you do any music?
I don't. I have a lot of friends that are into music. I'm kind of in the music scene, but I don't sing or rap or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of themes do you go with a theme each time?
Yes, we, it all kind of just, when it was always just around race, roots, and resistance, kind of Black Power movement and stuff. And then it just sort of started to transition into kind of making a space where you would want people to start to write about something, maybe even in the same sort of context, but just a little different. So we just sit down and kind of come up with some sort of creative pieces. Some of them is like Seize the Time, Weaponizing Your Art, I Spit Because, Art Task is to Remove the Mask, and Peace, which is positive energy, always creates elevation. So you kind of put these out and then you hope that people see the theme and want to write. My last one that I had was Peace, which is positive energy, always creates elevation. How do you use your work to create peace in your environment or within yourself? How do you use that to spread it? And a lot of people were hitting me up like, I'm so excited about the theme. This is really cool. And they were actually writing specifically for that theme. And it's still tied into, you know, the social issues and stuff. So it was great.
What are some of your favorite moments from past events?
I think watching Jasmine McKinney do a lot of stuff, Coco Harmon, I think watching her perform, it really just from year to year, just seeing her growth has been amazing. Of course, Erin always brings grade A poetry. I actually really like when Malik Yousef came down. He's a hip hop artist with good music, and he brought in a film about the shootings and stuff that was going on in Chicago, and he kind of spit a little bit. So some of those are some of the big ones. I like the local artists. I like seeing, you know, people here, of course, had, you know, bigger names, but I like seeing my local people do amazing things and the growth that happens kind of in this area. So I'm pushing for Champaign to do bigger and better things.
Yeah, well, I think we've got all the materials, and with Speak Cafe, That's a big opportunity.
Yeah, I think that this really does kind of create a different kind of a monster mm-hmm. for people and their creative abilities. And it gives them something different that I don't think a lot of other kind of venues can give them, because this really is a family. And I let people know that this is family, whether it's your first time or your thousandth time on stage. This is a family. We support everybody. We support your vision, and we encourage people to perform whether they feel like it's great or not, because it could be great to everybody. You just got to get out and actually do it. And that's one of the biggest things that Erin instilled in me is you don't know what you have until you lay it out there. And so, you know, I encourage people to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would you like to do a piece for us?
Okay, I'll do a pretty fast one. I think this one that I'm going to do was around a time that I was kind of trying to find myself. I had a lot of, you know, kind of miseducation that I didn't necessarily, you know, I stood in the miseducation that I was being taught about a lot of things in general. So I'll just get right into it. This mind that I have is filled with deception and corruption of false information, but I stood on that as I stand on my 2 feet. Cruel words like hate, anger, fear, and depression repeat in my mind. Cruel words like hate, anger, fear, and depression repeat in my mind. Cruel words like hate, anger, fear, and depression repeat in my mind as if I had to remember those times of being hurt and abused by those that should love you. My mind I derived way back before my time, before I could hear or feel or see, I could think. If I close my eyes, the color my mind writes is a gray and black and accents of blue. Purple is of royalty my mind couldn't comprehend, but red fills those spaces as the lines do my pages. My mind, a blessing or a curse.
Thank you, Shaya.
Thank you.
That's a lot you put in that.
Yeah, it was definitely around a rough time, you know, just trying to kind of find my way and, you know, being in a space where it's like, okay, it's either, you know, go forward or stay stuck. And I really wanted to kind of break out of that. So I just had to write what was kind of in my mind at the time so I could move forward past mm-hmm. that.
Do you have particular ways of writing or times when things occur to you?
You know, it's really weird because poetry happens for me in the most random times. I could be in high school, I would be standing at the bus stop waiting for the school bus, and a poem will come from top to bottom. And I'm like searching around for a pen and paper because sometimes it would just happen so quickly. And then other times, like when my grandfather passed, it was like I needed to get some of that heavy weight off of me. Or when I went to Ferguson and after Michael Brown was killed, you know, the feeling that I had, I needed to be able to get that out in a way that I don't think I could have done any other way but poetry. So I just sat down and started jotting down some of my feelings and my thoughts. And so, you know, it really just depends on the mood. I've kind of been in a writer's block and I'm trying to push through it right now. But Michael Brown was the last time that I wrote something, I think, of some sort of substance. So. Mm-hmm.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to WEFT 90.1 FM, your community radio station for East Central Illinois. I'm Cope. I'm hosting Smile Politely Radio, and on air with me is Shea Robinson, who's the host of Speak Cafe, our local spoken word monthly performance at the Krannert Art Museum mm-hmm. on Thursdays. So have you noticed people talking about things that are happening locally in town? There's a lot of stuff going on campus and in Champaign-Urbana, violence, things of concern.
Yes, I think that this with the Black Lives Matter movement and some of the stuff that's happening on campus with a lot of the kids and even in some of our high schools and junior high schools, I think it's like the Black Power movement with the elders. They had something that kind of pushed them to want to be, you know, in a social justice sort of setting and want to be an activist. And I think with the Black Lives Matter movement and some of the stuff that's going on campus is creating these artistic people, it's something different in them that they're able to attach to where they can use their voice to kind of push out. So I do see some of the stuff that's going on campus kind of create this different sort of a mindset. You know, Mother Nature, which is Cleva, and Truth, right. They do a lot of social stuff with the Black Lives Matter movement. And so, you know, they're using their music to kind of push out what they see as injustice and what a lot of us feel as injustice, and being able to get people to understand that who may not have ever understood it and putting it in music. I feel like one of the biggest things that poetry and music and art and stuff can do, that watching the news or reading an article about these sort of injustices, is it hits you at the heart. If you sit there and you watch somebody kind of do a poem for 2 minutes, and they lay it all out on the table, you'll feel something, and you'll feel it quickly. And it does, it sparks something, I think, in you that really, really does make you want to get out and do something. And sometimes, you know, some other forms don't have that same sort of hit. You know, you'll read and you'll be like, oh, that's really sad, but it's really hard to relate. But when you feel those people, you feel that space and anger and that pain, and you see them crying on stage, it does something really, really amazing. So I'm proud to be a part of something that can really hit at the heartstrings of people.
Do you know when spoken word really started taking off? Do you know anything about the history of this art form?
You know, I don't. I know it happened. It actually was a really long time ago. I don't know the logistics of the history of it, which is something I probably need to look more into. But I know that it probably a lot around the around kind of the Martin Luther King and, you know, that sort of an era where you're getting this big push of people that need. And of course, you know, if you listen to some of his speech, a lot of that is just poetry. And
well, it is. There's, you know, a powerful tradition there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't think about it, but music has always been poetic in form. You know, even if you think about hip hop and R&B and country and anything, it's all just poetry written in song form. So.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful part of this tradition. I hate to see that it comes out of pain so often. Well, now I have a sort of a philosophical question for you. Do you see a relationship between performance and critical thinking and social activism? And why is it important to combine these three?
I think they are all combined because you have to use critical thinking in order to create a masterpiece that is of activism and of power to get people to listen and to feel. So, I mean, they all kind of play a key component in what people do as artists. You know, you sit down and you think about the social issues that's going on, and you really kind of rack your brain about how can I put this into a form that is somewhat poetic, but still somewhat, you know, gritty a lot of the times. And how do I spread that onto other people, you know, and how do I push that out so that people want to listen to what I'm doing? A lot of times, you know, you can't get people to listen to you give a speech, but if you get up there and you do that poetry and you hit them with a lot of knowledge of either stuff that's happening in your community or stuff that's happening over the world, it's a really quick way to learn something. You know, I learn a lot listening to Aaron, and he throws a lot of history into his poetry. And it's like, you know, you'd have to sit through a lecture in school to learn some of the stuff that he's able to teach me in 2 or 3 minutes. So yeah. It does. I think it all plays a part together in kind of creating this space that goes along with the schools and go along with some of the articles that are written in the newspapers and stuff like that.
And as I see young children being encouraged to perform in this way, I think it's such a wonderful way to teach them presence and their voice and a rhythm, a sort of a beauty in the words. I love that about what I see in churches and spoken word and gospel, really.
And a lot of kids in our community, they don't have that way to get some of the pain out. And I feel like poetry or music or dance is an amazing way for those kids to be able to release stuff that a lot of people tell them they just need to not pay attention to or not worry about or work past. How you work past it if you silence their voice. So I'm very much pushing for the younger generation to really, you know, push their kids, and as kids themselves, or, you know, even my generation who are starting to have kids, like I really want them to push their kids into just being creative in any sort of a way so that they have a way to get some of that stuff out. Cause you harbor those emotions, those feelings of being Black in America and some of the stuff that happens to you very young, you know, it could create some, you know, really hurtful things inside of a child. So we push for that to be expressed in any way that it can.
Do you know if there are any programs in school, local schools, elementary and junior high and high school, for kids to get to practice spoken word?
Well, me growing up, I didn't have anything in elementary school or junior high school or anything. Is once I got to high school, I was able to take poetry classes, but I was actually writing before then. One of my teachers had an assignment. We read this book and she wanted us to write about the book, but instead, for some reason, I have no clue where it came from, she wrote a poem that kind of went in the same form as the book. But it was about my life and my family and the people that I care about and stuff like that. So I wish, you know, and I'm very hopeful that they do push. I think they do music, but as far as the poetry aspect of it, I don't think they really delve deep into it, or as deep as I feel like we could. You know, you can start that really early. As long as kids can talk, you can probably teach them how to do poetry or spoken word.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that Coco does some work in the Champaign schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the middle schools. I think she takes spoken word because she's. Can you describe the campus group that she runs? Word.
I'll try to do it as much justice as I can. They're an amazing group of artists, but I believe it's Writers Organized Against Realistic Dialect,
yeah.
And what they do is they get all of these artists together and they do workshop together and they write poetry together and they encourage each other and help each other grow as artists to do different and, you know, sort of things on campus and outside of campus. I was actually able to go to one of their, cause they actually are a big part of Speak Cafe.
Yeah,
so I went to support one of their poetry events and just seeing how great they are in their space on campus is definitely amazing. So I get excited every time I see any members of Word in Speak Cafe, because I'm like, you're coming up next, you know, because they set a different kind of a tone. And I'm hoping that even, you know, we can get some people that maybe not on campus to do the same sort of thing, where do workshops together and, you know, hopefully push each other to write, whether it be your first time or just kind of perfecting your craft.
Do more community people tend to come to Speak Cafe?
I think that a lot of campus students come on to Speak Cafe, but we do get a lot of community. We get some people that may be on the board that come. We get some, you know, teachers that come. We get just everyday, you know, people that come as well. So it definitely is a wide array of people that are there. We do want a lot of the campus kids to come, but also want the community there as well. We want to be able to bridge the gap between campus and the community and make it kind of a whole, because sometimes people look at it as separate entities. It's, here's campus, here's, you know, Champaign-Urbana, the town. And we want to be able to bridge that in Speed Cafe and have everybody come and spit. So,
and I've always loved it that it's at the Cranard Art Museum, which is not a place that a lot of people can think of going. So it really brings people onto campus.
And I'm very grateful for Cranard Art Museum giving us the space to do something like this. It's an amazing, if you haven't been to the Cranard Art Museum, I encourage you to go. It is amazing to walk through. And we take a break, about a 10 or 15 minute break in between, let people use the restroom. But we also encourage them to walk around the art museum, because that's another form of expression. And we want people to be inspired by that as well. So we let them walk through and kind of look up, you know, around the art museum to see what their theme is or what they have going on at the time. So sometimes it may be the same from month to month. Sometimes you'll see some new artwork in there. So
you have three more Speak Cafes coming up this spring. Do you have plans for those, for themes? Are there particular things you want to invite people to come and participate in?
Well, the next three, I'm going to do Women's Her Story Month, which I believe I'm going to try to do that one for March. I think I have it for February, but I'm going to do that one for March. And it's a tribute to influential women, whether it be poets or artists, singers or whatever it is. We just want to do a tribute to women, because women are a big part of the movement, as far as, you know, the political movement and the social movement, the activist movement, but also they play a big part in poetry and song and stuff too. So we want to give a tribute to that. Another one will be One Mic, One Voice, you know, so how do you use your voice in one microphone to create change in people? And then the last one I'll do is Perfecting Your Craft. What kind of things do you do to perfect your craft, whether it be singing or poetry or whatever? How do you, you know, what do you use as inspiration to perfect what it is that you do?
So you'll actually be talking about the process of producing spoken word, writing it?
You know, I'm kind of looking into a couple of different things about how to do the perfecting your craft. I want to make sure that I leave enough space for people to be able to perform, because like I said, sometimes there's busting out of the door. So I don't want to do too much talking, but I think I might do a little, just drop a little, the K and speak a little bit of knowledge about how to, you know, what do you do and you're kind of in a rut about performing, or what kind of spaces can you, you know, visit to kind of create or spark some sort of change in you that make you want to sit down and actually write and rewrite and rewrite again, and passing it to another artist that you may think is, you know, just a little bit better, and, you know, having them, you know, tweak it a little bit for you, and really just making it the best that it can be.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I got distracted because I saw Will Patterson come in, and he does Hip Hop Express now. So I'm going to invite him in and see if we're, you know, we're just about out of time though. So I'm just going to thank you, Shea. This has been Shea Robinson, the host of Speak Cafe Spoken Word on campus at Cranard Art Museum. And the next edition of Speak Cafe is when?
It is going to be February 11th.
Hi.
Hey, Will. Good. It's good to see you. February 11th. That's a Thursday night at what time?
It starts at 7.
Okay, at the Cranard Art Museum, which is on
Peabody, 500 East Peabody. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you have been listening to Smile Politely Radio. Check out smilepolitely.com next Tuesday for a podcast of this show. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Hip Hop Express is coming up next. And if we're lucky, we'll get a little bit of conversation between Dr. P and Shea about Speak Cafe. So